You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Clash of the Correspondents. Except, James, this time there's no clash. My name's Serge.
My name's James.
And we have with us at FPL Canal Neil on the line to talk to us about stats. Neil, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, can't complain at all. Can't complain at all. The international break is actually quite nice because I had a couple of days off because the kids start school. So I thought I'd take 2 days off before they start school and didn't have to waste those 2 days thinking about FPL.
There is literally nothing nice about this. I don't know what you're talking about.
I needed it for 2 days, I'll be honest with you.
The only benefit is my son is actually getting some of my attention at the moment. But he has been all of August anyway because there's not really any midweek matches. Once the Champions League starts up again and that, I mean, I don't know. It's probably a little bit of neglect going on in the household.
Mm. Yeah, more than likely.
Just saying.
How do you feel about your start to the FPL season, Neil? You're on 243 points, top half a million.
Yeah, not too bad. 60-point average, I'll take that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Nothing to complain about at the moment.
Now, what are you about, 500k, Neil?
459.
Yeah, just under 500k.
Wow.
So have you been having...
Not an amazing start, but I'm not going to complain about it.
Have you been having green arrows since game week one?
No. I started off...
You had a horrendous last 12 weeks or so last season, didn't you? You had an unbelievable rank. I think you had about 12 of 13 red arrows and still finished about 25k, I think.
Yeah, about 30k, I think. Yeah, something like that. So not as good as last year, but...
You're 10 points ahead of me at the moment, which equates to 500,000 places, which is mental, isn't it? So if you imagine you were just 10 points better off, you'd probably be top 100k at this point in time. So it's still very, very tight up at the top in terms of your rank can move up and down so much.
I noticed, Neil, there's a big at the back five in your FPL team, mate.
Yeah, I'm still quite happy with that. Ideally, now Laporte's injured, I'd like to get De Bruyne in, but... I'm not, without wildcarding, I don't think I could do it. So obviously he's the main player that most people want at the moment, isn't he? And his ownership's going up and up. And his price is going up and up. So it feels like there's not enough I'd want to change my team to wildcard. But if I want to get De Bruyne, I'll have to wildcard.
Well, who would be your obvious replacement you got in mind for Laporte, just out of interest?
Otamendi.
Yeah, just straight in, simple as that.
Just stay on the same.
Well, when we did the people's poll on Monday, that was generally our conclusion, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there was quite a few people on Twitter that tweeted afterwards and just said, yeah, I filled it with Otamendi, it's a sideways move. Our Man City correspondent, Johnny Pringle, FPL Pringle, said that he would say that was the obvious move, but wait and see what's happened with Laporte. Well, we know now, don't we, that he's had surgery, so it's not going to be next week.
Yeah. No, he's very unlikely to play this calendar year.
It's going to be a while.
Yeah.
Maybe Christmas time if you're lucky, I think. Neil, we've obviously got you on to talk some numbers. Is there anything specifically that you wanted to sort of bring to the table here on this?
Well, so I've looked at the expected attacking returns. Did an article on it at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Looking at it from last year. I've done the same for the first four game weeks. Obviously, it's still far too early to be drawing too many conclusions from it, but it's interesting to look at how players are performing and whether some of the more popular players are actually got the numbers to back it up. One of the main ones, I suppose, would be Sergio Ceballos, is it?
Danny Ceballos, yes.
So he's 164th for expected attacking points this year.
Fucking hell, Neil. Did you actually count that far down?
Excel will do it for you.
Joint with Lewis Dunk.
Wow.
So I think maybe that 1.1 million or whatever it is you've got in the bank could be spent on upgrading him.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, looking at the eye test though on Ceballos, that comes out. That I would have said is an anomaly. Surely,
I would throw into the conversation on Ceballos and say in a little bit of defence of Sergio, he's started two games and one of them was away to Liverpool. So I don't think that's too surprising.
No, true. But Theo Walcott's higher up the list with. Played 39 minutes or something this year.
Okay, actually, that's a problem, so you should say.
Well, the thing is, if you can get ranked off playing 39 minutes out of four games, then obviously this is where stats can be misleading or a little bit of an issue because they don't take into account all of the considerations in there. Just looking at the way that Arsenal were different when Ceballos came on, surely he's going to start now moving forward. Plus, you've got to factor in the price. We started the season at 5.5, which puts him in that enabler bracket. You've got a top six attacking midfielder at less than 6 million. And I've had two price rises out of him. It's not just about, obviously, what the stats throw up, right?
No, yeah, definitely. And four games in, you can't draw too many conclusions, but I just thought it was interesting that he was quite so low.
Yeah, for sure.
Who's standing out there for XG individually, Neil?
So Sterling's top.
No surprise there.
Just ahead of De Bruyne and ahead of Salah.
Is that XG and XA or just XG, Neil?
Yeah, so this is converting the XG to positional points for goals. So a midfielder gets their XG times by five, striker gets their XG times by four.
Oh, I see. So you're XFPL in it, basically. You're putting the FPL points on top of that. I understand.
And then adding on the XA times three.
Gotcha. So that makes sense.
To translate it to FPL. Sorry, Sterling, De Bruyne and Salah, top three.
Yeah, it's no surprise. Do you think then, with obviously De Bruyne coming in at a far lower value than the other two guys, does that make him, I hate the word, essential?
I don't own him and I'm not 100% sure I'm looking to get him in. So it's hard for me to call him essential.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's not going to be for everyone.
But yeah, he's probably as close to essential as anyone.
I think if Kevin De Bruyne tears it up against Norwich Sudge in game week 5, we're not going to speak about him on the pod anymore.
Yeah, it's done and dusted, right?
He's the player I'm most worried about not owning.
What, more than some of the other sort of premiums that you have? Or don't have, rather?
Yeah, definitely.
So you'd be more... Who have you got, Neil, of the premiums?
I've got Salah and Sterling.
So you're saying you'd be more worried about De Bruyne than, say, a Kane or Aubameyang, for example?
Or Aguero.
Yeah, Kane and Aubameyang have been, in terms of XFPL, which is I've looked at, like Haller, Pookie, Barnes are all above Kane and Aubameyang for expected returns.
I've taken the view with Kevin De Bruyne that he was at 9.5, he was ridiculous value. At 9.8, he's still good value. At 10, he's still going to be good value. So I don't feel like I'm ever going to miss the value boat with him, even if he went up to 10.1 or 10.2. And I'm also in the same boat as you, Neil, in the sense that I can't get him without wildcarding because I'd need to make two or three changes. And I don't want to play my wildcard. So I'm going to ride out maybe two more game weeks, build up two transfers again, and then maybe do something similar to what James did, take a -4 to get Kevin De Bruyne in, which will be in 2 to 3 weeks. He's at 9.8 now. I don't think he'd go up more than 10.1, 10.2.
Two things I'd add on your plan there, Serge. The next two games are Norwich away and Watford at home.
They're going to smash them both, aren't they?
Right. Well, this is why I made the decision to get it done ahead of Brighton at home.
Sure.
Just get it done. I want to throw in two stats briefly on Kevin De Bruyne because we could spend hours talking about him and I think the listeners are really sick of it. Most key passes this season with 16. 16 in four games, most key passes. He's also created 6 big chances. That's double anybody else in the league. Let's talk about someone else, Neil.
Let's talk about someone else on the list in terms of stats, who I'm interested in your take on because I've just put him in my team in terms of James Maddison. He's only had 2 assists this season, but he's taken the most corners In terms of 23 corners, three more than anyone else. And through balls was an interesting one, because obviously the striker up front, up top there, Jamie Vardy, lives off through balls, running on at pace, getting in behind people. And he's played five through balls so far. What are your thoughts on James Maddison? How does he rank?
Yeah, he's ranked 28th out of all players. He's above Vardy. So, yeah.
That's interesting.
Best.
You made me feel
Leicester
a bit better about myself there, having
probably,
Vardy.
But,
Maddison, sorry.
But I think any of him, Vardy or Tielemans, look pretty good shouts from Leicester.
While we're on them, Leicester, defensively, their expected clean sheets, I noticed, I think you correct me if I'm wrong, Neil, I think it's the best in the league at the moment in terms of expected. Do you know if that's correct?
Yeah, so I think on Opta, it's best, and then on Understat, I think they're second or third. I think Sheffield United are best, maybe,
wow,
on Understat.
I saw Sheffield United were quite high up, yeah. Do you know how they... Because obviously some people will use like Opta, some will use like Understat. Do you know how they measure that differently? Or is it just the opinion, essentially?
Yeah, so the models are just different in terms of... I think Opta, yeah, there's probably better people to talk about it than me, to be honest. But yeah, the models are just slightly different in the way that they evaluate the chances.
Yeah, because I get my data from Will's Fantasy Football Hub. And I think he uses Opta, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they pulled data from Opta.
Yeah. I've got that too. But I use Understat as well. Yeah, they're slightly different, but not too different that it's too much of an issue.
Okay. I mean, is there anyone in the Leicester team at the moment that's standing out? Soyuncu is obviously getting a lot of mentions. He's 4.5, might have even gone up to 4.6 now, I'm not sure. Have you considered someone like that as, say, a Laporte replacement, Neil?
Yeah. Considered coming off Laporte and going down and saving that. The 2 million there would nearly get me Martial to De Bruyne. So, it's a consideration. Yeah. And they've obviously done...
That sounds a good move.
Pretty well defensively.
I think the off-putter with that... I mean, Leicester's XG is good, and you have to obviously consider... I've got a point on it, but... Obviously, three of the next four, as we've said, United, Spurs, Liverpool. Doesn't really feel the right time to be throwing Soyuncu into your team. I think the attacking guys is right.
No, it doesn't.
And just to kind of add to the fact that Leicester's expected clean sheets, according to Opta, is the highest so far. Obviously played Wolves in game week one, who will sit behind the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Game week two, they completely dominated at Chelsea after a kind of shaky first half. There weren't too many chances in game week three against Sheffield United. And Bournemouth at home, they're a bit hit and miss, aren't they?
Mm.
So actually on those four fixtures, it's probably not a huge surprise that Leicester do come up that highly. And to be seen, I think, if by the time they hit the next international break, that they're still in that sort of position.
Yeah. One that was surprising for me on the other side, attacking-wise, is West Ham. They're high up on XG as a team. And like you think they've played City already as well, so... That's pretty impressive.
It's interesting you mentioned that, Neil, because earlier this week or last week, James and I were driving home and we mentioned that we were just talking about it. West Ham had a higher, it was more than three against Watford and more than three against Norwich as our XG. For the last two games to be above three for two games in a row is pretty rare.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see that very often.
You might argue without trying to upset Mark and Steve and our correspondents here too much, you might have just played the two weakest sides defensively in the league.
Yeah, for sure. But obviously it's the quality of the chances as well, right? I mean, the Norwich one, we probably should have scored three or four, so that's fair. And against Watford, we did score three. So the XG wasn't actually that far off being reasonably accurate. Another one that I wanted to talk to you about, which is going to be in a few people's minds, is that £11 million striker, Harry Kane versus Aubameyang. Both have scored three goals so far this season. Aubameyang's 3 points ahead because of the one assist that he's picked up and pipped, but BPS-wise, they're bang on. I was looking at a game week six move from in between five and six, move from Harry Kane to Aubameyang, to catch about 8 to 10 really good fixtures for Arsenal. And I didn't really think that Spurs were firing as well as they could. But then obviously now the European transfer window's closed, Eriksen's staying. Are they going to now be a little bit more settled? Is there anything in the stats that differentiate one over the other? Or is it literally a case of toss a coin and hold your breath?
Yeah, toss a coin. They're both pretty much identical, both next to each other in terms of strikers for XFPL. Harry Kane slightly ahead, but less than half a point. So nothing between them, really.
It's interesting. I was looking back on Aubameyang, that his first half of last season in terms of FPL points was a lot stronger than his second.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons for that was obviously he wasn't used too much in Europa group stage. Whereas in the second half of the season, their priorities kind of merged into in between the two. And there's no real reason. I think there's a fear, obviously, in terms of whether you want to look at Aubameyang or Lacazette or Pepe, that these guys will be getting used in Europa and there'll be rotation in the Premier League. I think, you know, they've got Eintracht Frankfurt, who got to the semi-final last year in the Europa League, but have essentially had their front three completely dismantled, so as not as strong as they were last year. And otherwise, they should piss through the group with no need to use these guys, really. And there are guys in the background like Reece Nelson who are going to need football. Ozil's another one, right? Ozil's ideal for the Europa, isn't he?
Yeah.
Stick him in that, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So I don't think rotation is too much of a concern. They've obviously got a great run of fixtures, Arsenal, which starts now. The only argument I'd throw back against that, other than those who think that Harry Kane plays centre-half, is that Spurs also have decent fixtures over the next few games.
I agree with you on that. That's why it's a case of literally, if you've got one, toss a coin, hold your breath, and you're going to be not... it would surprise me if their points returns over the next 5 to 7 games are more than 4 or 5 points apart. I think they're going to be there or thereabouts between the two of them. Unless one of them goes crazy in any particular game and bangs in a hat-trick, it's going to be very, very close.
Which they're both capable of on their day.
Yeah, exactly.
So just wanted to pull up Spurs' fixtures for the next... up till Liverpool in game week 10. Palace at home, Leicester away, Southampton at home, Brighton away, Watford at home. You go, oh, Leicester away is difficult. He's got more goals against Leicester than any other club. So look at them fire. I can't take him out.
No.
Stick him with it.
Yeah, sure. Neil, the big at the back has been a big debate, especially because obviously we had to wait till game week 4 for the first Liverpool clean sheet. You've got 2 Liverpool defenders and 2 City defenders, same as James. I've got 3 Liverpool defenders and 2 City defensively. You went with Robertson over Trent. Is that a regret? Okay, fine. We'll move that out of the way. And you're sticking with it. Like, statistically, there's nothing that makes you think, you know what, let me come off. Because we've been sticking with it for as long as we can and we've got no intention of coming off as well.
No, I've got no intention of coming off the defence at the moment. I would like to be able to swap Robertson to Alexander-Arnold, just because the stats, Alexander-Arnold's way ahead of Robertson at the moment. But whether that's a transfer I can afford to make is unlikely at the moment with Laporte injured.
You want to save your pennies for trying to get De Bruyne in as well, right? So.
Yeah,
every little point one counts.
I feel like Neil's come on and he's like, I'm not in a rush to get De Bruyne. We threw some stats out and he's like, oh yeah, I might make that move. Trent Alexander-Arnold so far this season, 41 crosses, 7 more than anybody else in the league. That's on average is more than 10 a game, right?
Wow, yeah.
This guy's playing right back.
Yeah.
He's taking the free kicks as well.
It's 3 assists in 4 games.
Yeah. And that's a continuation of an amazing spell we had on the back end of last season. Yeah. Klopp did suggest before the Burnley game that there would be no rotation in the Burnley game. And then coming out the other side, there would be. However, again, I feel like they've obviously got a difficult Champions League tie with Napoli coming up. But they should still relatively comfortably be able to breeze through this group. So I'm not overly concerned about it.
I don't think they can afford to rotate. Like, they need to get every point they can to keep up with City, I don't think they can afford to rotate.
Well, yeah, I think it makes more sense to rotate in the Champions League, doesn't it? For them specifically.
Yeah, because you can drop points in the Champions League and they can still get through.
If they drop points in the league, that
could be it.
Take the Champions League group, for example. If they win 3, draw 1 and lose 2, they'll almost definitely still go through, won't they? If they have 6 league games in a row winning 3, then... they might be out of the title race. Yeah. That's the point, right? Yeah. So,
yeah.
No, you can't. I mean, what did last year we won 6 Champions League games to get to the final?
Yeah.
You don't have to show the consistency that you need in the league. Like, you can't be winning half your league games. You win half your league games, you ain't even going to get in the top four, as much as we're all falling over each other not to get in it again. But if you win 19 league games, you're going to struggle to finish top four. You need to be in excess of 20, really, at least. So, no, I think, and the same applies to City as well. Like, I would see, like, Jesus getting runs out in the Champions League. I'd see, like, if Sterling was going to get rested, generally, that's where it would be. I think for both of them, I don't see how either of them can believe. I think, you know, if Pep went to Norwich for whatever reason, left Sterling and Aguero out and they didn't win, he would massively regret it. I think it's more in a position, win the game, take them off. And I think there's certain games like that for City as well. City are already ahead on goal difference, despite being 2 points behind Liverpool. I mean, there's a run of fixtures now where they can ramp that up on Liverpool massively and put themselves sort of 15, 20 goals ahead, I would say. Because Liverpool got a tough run of fixtures, right?
They really do, yeah.
Whereas City's each week could be anything. Could be scrappy, but they could be 4 or 5s every week. There aren't too many for Liverpool, other than you would look at maybe game week 5. But you know Newcastle are going to go there and sit in and don't often get battered in these games. So I think City can really ramp up the goal difference pressure over between now and the next international break.
Manchester City have a much stronger psychological kind of... they beat you in your head a bit easier than Liverpool do, in my opinion. When City score 1, I feel like people are just like, oh, fuck this. I can't be arsed anymore. Liverpool, if you go 1 down, you still kind of hang in a little bit. When City score 1, they very quickly end up 2 or 3 up and then it's just game over. They have that ability to just... Yeah, don't bother. Don't mess with us.
Just one more on Liverpool, just before we come off them. Firmino, hardly had a mention for us during the pauses. Am I right in saying, Neil, most shots in the first 4 game weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's right up there with the ex-FPL as well. He's 5th for strikers.
Yeah, I've seen a few people beginning to look at sort of drafting him in, and I can understand why, because it just allows a little bit of budget movements elsewhere, doesn't it?
I mean, 4 attacking returns, 2 assists, 2 goals in 4 games, you'd be happy with that at 9.5 million.
Yeah, that'll do. Like, if you're returning 3 out of 4, yeah, all day. Mm. I don't know if necessarily that's sustainable over a whole season for Firmino. He's certainly capable.
Don't think you'd be confident enough to captain him is the problem.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on, Neil. I mean, one of the things I keep saying about Liverpool, other than the game week 5 fixture with Newcastle, is I don't think there are too many, well, there certainly aren't any others, in my opinion, between now and the next international break, where you'd go Salah and Mane would be priority to captain. And the same would obviously apply to Firmino. It's one of the reasons I'm not desperate to get either Salah, Mane, or I think we have to start including Firmino in the conversation now.
Yep.
What do you think of Pookie, Neil?
I've got him.
I think we all have.
But I'd rather have Barnes for the upcoming fixtures. I think Pookie's numbers are good. Like he's providing value, and I don't think he'll keep it up. That he may do, but.
I don't suppose he's keeping it up often with that haircut, mate, to be honest with you.
Barnes just looks threatening every game.
Yeah,
and with the fixtures Burnley have got coming up.
It's a move I'm beginning to consider as well. I'm thinking, do you take Pookie through the City game? And then if the value starts dropping, do you start panicking? And let's be honest, a return against City is unlikely. It's not impossible.
Yeah,
and he could if Norwich return, he's the most likely. We know that he's going to be their talisman.
Scored away at Liverpool.
But you look at it straight away and Burnley's next 4 and go Brighton away, Norwich at home, Villa away, Everton at home, and maybe we, some of us should take the opinion that all right, let's take a little bit of the value on Pookie. This looks like the immediate return, and I talk so often about that regret of holding someone too long because of the value you have in them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you got anything else specific, Neil, that you wanted to briefly touch on before we wrap up, mate?
Just that Dina and Coleman, there's the difference between the two. Coleman is 4th for defenders for XFPL, which surprised
and
me.
And Dean?
Coleman's 4th. Dean is 19th.
Do you think
which was surprising.
No, that's fair. Do you think, is it considered, Inter, when they're working out these models, do they consider things like, for example, if you take Richarlison's winning goal against Wolves on Sunday, do they consider the fact that there's not many people in the league that can cross a ball like that from that position? Would that get factored in, or would they go
factored in.
That's part of the point, right? So actually, their models, you can't, you don't factor in things like ability.
Make your own allowances.
So for example, if someone's to sort of break it down into simple terms, if a team's got a penalty, does every single player have the same XG?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right, so
Dean's obviously...
They wouldn't
you'd
take
be more
into,
confident with Dean taking one than Coleman.
Well, of course.
But
that's
they'd
part,
get the same XG
the
for the chance.
You need to consider things like that. So if you take that on a penalty basis, like I'd argue Kane is one of the best in the business at it. Whereas I think someone like Aguero is not particularly a great penalty taker, but he'll have the same XG off that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of fair, but then that breaks down into more things like the position that Dean gets that cross in as an XA, that's nearly nothing. It's got to be, I would have thought. Whereas Coleman can't even put that ball in to that quality.
Yeah.
So you have to be conscious of things like that. There are always...
You have to look at the difference in quality between
absolutely.
The players.
Absolutely. So,
but it just interested me that there was quite such a difference between the two when at the start of the season people were talking about saving that 0.5 and going with Coleman.
Well, it's probably... Coleman probably gets himself into actually more dangerous positions if you think like the pullback.
Yeah, he's got himself into more goal-scoring or better goal-scoring positions.
Yeah, I'm thinking like that, the pullback for Calvert-Lewin in the Villa game.
Yeah, I think Dean set him up with one in one of the games, I think.
Yeah.
Palace game, maybe?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, there was one scrappy at the Homesdale end. All right, interesting.
Yes. Well, look, Neil, we want to say thanks again for the articles that you keep sending through and for the community and for the website and what have you, and also joining us today.
No problem.
Neil, pleasure. I could have spoke to you for hours, mate. Loved that.
Yep, cool.
Nice.
Catch you again later.
Thanks, mate. Don't do what we've advised on the transfers. Do what's best for you.
Exactly. It's always a caveat.
I'll end up doing my wild card now.
Uh-huh. No, don't do that.
Don't waste that. Yeah. James, why don't you tell everyone what else we got left this week for their ears?
There's only
listening
one more.
Pleasure.
There's only one more.
Which is?
Late tomorrow night, we're doing a feature on Bury Football Club. All you FPLers, there's plenty of statistical nerdy stuff for you there. We're going to do something a little bit different tomorrow night.
Yeah, the tragedy that is what's happening at Bury. We'll have a look at the business side of things, the football side of things, and kind of what it means. And will it happen again in the future? Because obviously football being a bigger and bigger business and people taking bigger and bigger bets, you don't think this is the last time it's going to happen, is it?
We can only hope not. But hopefully there might be some good news coming up for Bury, maybe.
Yes. Cool. So that's coming at you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Do hit subscribe and like and all of those things that make James and I very happy. Other than that, thanks again, Neil, and ciao for now.
Thanks, Neil. Cue music, man child. Sports Social Podcast Network.